So if you follow along, we're going to be reading in Romans chapter 6, 23. We're going to have it on the screen. And for those of you following along on Facebook and on the website, it'll be posted on your screen as we read. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And you know, that's really a bold statement, you know, and the truth about what Christianity is, about what the gift is of salvation from our sins. You know, it's a gift from God. You know, He didn't have to forgive us for the sin that Adam and Eve had, that they committed in the garden by disobeying from eating from the tree. And you know, I'm afraid today that a lot of people have been deceived by things going on, things that have been taught, not so much in the church maybe, but through other ways, people telling everybody if you just live a good life that you'll go to heaven. And we know that's not the case if you've been raised in church. And you know, we need to understand that there's a price to be paid for our sins, you know, and that price is death. And you know, we have the spiritual death is kind of what it's talking about here. But I want to look back in Genesis chapter 2 and just read what happened there in the garden, where, you know, we have the first death. We have the first death now due to the sin of Adam and Eve that they committed in the garden. Here we are in chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17. And verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." And verse 17, "But of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Thou shalt surely die. And he knew, see, the Lord knew what was going to happen. He knew that they were going to eat of that tree. He knew that that was going to happen. And he made a way. He already had a way prepared before that happened, knowing what was going to happen. And knowing now, we know, he tells them before they ate of that tree what the cost was going to be. The cost was going to be death. If they disobeyed, if they sinned against God, if they didn't listen to what he told them, that they were going to die. That they were going to die. See, up until this point in history, in Genesis, there was nothing wrong. This was paradise. Earth was perfect. Everything was perfect that was here. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no COVID. There was no nothing. It was perfect. It was paradise. God had created this perfect place for man and for him to dwell, and you know, to be together with his creation. He'd given us everything that we could have ever needed to live forever. We could have lived forever. But that rebellious nature of humanity sneaked in. The devil deceived, beguiled, I believe is what the Bible says, beguiled the woman, beguiled Eve. And she ate of the fruit, and then she gave it to Adam, and he also ate. I consider that a little bit of rebelliousness on my part. And we as a race, I feel like, are always rebellious towards authority. We're always rebellious towards authority and against what God has commanded us to do. You know, man, it seems like today that we're even more and more rebellious against what the Lord has commanded us to do here in this nation. We see people turning away from the Lord. We see the church houses not really filled like they used to be. We don't see that desire in people necessarily to serve the Lord the way that they should. And we need to remind people that there's a cost for sin that has to be paid. If you don't ask the Lord for forgiveness of your sins, then you're not going to be forgiven at the end. And we'll cover that in a little bit. And I titled tonight's message, "The Wages of Sin and Finding the Way Out." And finding the way out. The way out was Jesus Christ. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross. We'll get to that here in just a second. Let's look back over in Romans chapter 5. I want to read this. It goes along with what we just read over here in Genesis, and it's talking about that. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and it says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned. It doesn't say there in that sentence, death passed upon Adam for his sin. All men. And ever since then, we've all died. We're all going to die. We're not going to escape death. Whether it's through this pandemic, or whether it's through natural causes, or whether we're taken out in an unfortunate accident, or whatever it may be, you know, the Lord put us here, and he's going to take us out. We're all going to meet our Creator one of these days. Whether we've accepted his Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior or not. You know, we need to remember that Jesus didn't come, make enemies. He didn't come to do whatever he wanted to do. He had a purpose in mind, and that was always to be about what his Father wanted him to do. I believe it says, I don't have it back here, I don't have it written down for anybody to see or anything, but you know, I believe what it says is when they had went to be counted in the census, I believe that he had went with his mother and father, and he was a young boy, and they had left to go back to where they were from, and didn't realize they'd left him behind, and he was in the temple teaching, and his mother asked him, she said, why did you do this? And he said, I must be about my Father's business. Even at a young age, he was about that. He knew his purpose ever since he came into the world. You know, it was declared that he was the Son of God. We knew that he was coming. There had been prophecies foretold of his coming, and even today there's people that deny that he has come. But I'm here to tell you today that he's come, and he had a purpose, and that purpose was to come and make a way that we wouldn't have to offer animal sacrifices anymore. That he would be that perfect sacrifice for our sins, and that we could make heaven our eternal home by accepting him as our personal Savior and asking for forgiveness of our sins. And so often today we have, if you've listened to my preaching much at all, you've heard me talk a lot about how prideful we are and how it's all about me. And I'm afraid that mentality has stricken in the church sometimes, that we don't allow the Lord to work in the way that it needs to be done. You know, we need to allow the Spirit to come in to our services and be a part. I'm afraid that so many churches today all across the country have gotten into this mentality of, we're going to come in and we're going to sing two songs and we're going to have prayer and we're going to have preaching, and then we might we'll have an invitational song, and if somebody comes to the altar, we might sing too, but then we're going to go home and make sure we're home by 12:30, 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and then we'll come back and do it again next week. We're so afraid of the Holy Spirit showing up that it might interfere with our schedules. And you know, we as a congregation, and as a community as a whole, as a church community, we need to be ready to do whatever the Spirit would have on us. If the Spirit tells us one Sunday to have Brother Dan get up and sing four songs before we have preaching, then he better sing four songs. Or if we feel like we ought to, you know, just dismiss a Sunday morning service and go out and visit with people in the community and witness to people in the community, get out in the field, then that's what we need to do. We need to invite that Spirit in. I'm afraid we just get going through the motions sometimes, and we don't truly get our hearts and our minds ready for worship. We call it worship service, and that's what it is. It's to get a preaching from the Lord. You know, the Lord gives the preacher the message, and the message comes from the preacher. And if it's done right, you know, it's the Lord speaking out. That's not to say that sometimes some preachers don't get off topic, because I'm afraid sometimes they do. But you know, it's one of those things where we gotta come to church hungry. We got to come ready to receive what the minister has or what the teacher has if we're going to Sunday school. We always need to have our hearts and our minds open and ready for what the Lord would have. And I'm afraid that that drive to become a Christian and to do the Lord's will and to do what He would have us to be done just isn't there anymore in a lot of churches, that there's just not that drive to do what the Lord would have us to do. And, you know, I know that there's a lot of things going on, that there's a lot of good things going on. You know, I heard a clip, and I'm for sure I'll quote this wrong, but I was listening to Brother Billy Graham preach an old sermon, and he was talking about the book of Habakkuk, and he was talking about how Habakkuk was asking the Lord why he was doing these things and to get him out of that situation. And he just flat out told him, he said, if I told you what I was doing, you wouldn't believe me. You wouldn't believe me. And I'm afraid that that's what's happened today. We want to see things happen in our church. We want to see people come to the altar. We want to see people saved. We've all got lost family that we want to see saved. We've all got people that we know in our lives, co-workers, old friends, maybe that don't know the Lord as their personal Savior. Maybe you've never been to church in their life. Maybe you don't know anything about Him. I mean, we're at that point here in America where some people don't know anything about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It hasn't been taught. Nobody's talked to them. You know, we've got to have that desire to see everyone saved. And it's going to require more than just praying and getting down on our knees. You know, we're going to have a burden. We're going to have to actually go do something. You know, He didn't tell the disciples, He didn't say, I'll teach you all these things, and then they're just going to come. And you just preach to them, and they're going to be saved. That's not what He said. He said, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. In order to go fishing, you got to do something. You can't just stand there. I've used that analogy before. We've got to go get them. He didn't say, I'll send them to you. We got to go get them. We got to show them that there's a desire, that there's that love for Jesus Christ, for doing what He wants us to do. You know, He's been so good to me throughout the years. He's done so many things, I could never thank Him enough. But yet there's things when I look back, even just over the past week, I feel like there's opportunities maybe that I missed, that the Lord opened a door for me to witness to somebody maybe, and maybe I missed it as I look back. And I've been thinking to myself, Lord, just show me those opportunities more, that I won't miss those. I feel like I've let You down. You know, give me another opportunity to try and do something else for You. We've got to learn to have that desire again. We've got to desire that. You know, I hear stories about when when my parents were younger, and some of you here can attest to this, but they would come to church on Sunday morning, and they might not leave till Sunday night. They might just, service just might go on all day long because somebody get happy or somebody come to the altar. People get excited and start talking about the Lord, what the Lord done for them. And they'd start singing, and next thing you know, preacher get up to preach again. It's Sunday night, and everybody go home, and maybe they miss lunch. Maybe they miss the football game. You know, maybe they miss the NASCAR race. I mean, those things may not have been around back then. I don't know. But, you know, we've allowed all these things to become distractions in our lives. And people don't realize that they're being distracted by the devil. He's come to seek and devour and destroy. That's what He's come to do. He's come to destroy everything that God's created. He tried right there in Genesis. He did it. He destroyed the perfect garden. And God, because of their sin, kicked them out of the garden and placed cherubims in front of the garden and a flaming sword which pointed all ways so that they could not enter in to the garden yet again. And ever since then, we've been separated from God by our sin. But there's been an intercessor made now. And I talked about it a little bit. You know, Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross so that we could have life. And I believe it says, and have life more abundantly. Have it more abundantly. He died on that cross. We have to ask for forgiveness of our sins. You know, even my children have sinned not knowing it. They just bear the cost of sin because of being born. They bear the cost of that sin that Adam and Eve, they bear that cost. Why? Because that was the punishment. And I don't think they realized that, because they were deceived by the devil. And he's deceiving a lot of people today into thinking, if I just live a good life, God won't send me to hell. Maybe there's people in the church that have come to church their whole lives and have never made a profession of faith, never confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But they've been good, devout churchgoers. And, you know, let's just read a little bit. Let's read over in Matthew chapter number 7. Let's just read a little bit about what's going to happen here at the end after Christ has come back. You know, this is what's going to happen in the judgment. And it says here, 27 verses 21 through 23. Now, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I'm afraid that a lot of people have been deceived. Because what it says clearly right here in verse number 21, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. You got to do the Lord's will. You got to do the Lord's work. You got to do what he's asking you to do. You may not like it, and it may not be easy, but we've got to do it. We've got to do what he asks us to do. Because it says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You got to do what he's asking you to do. It's not just saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my personal Savior. Now you got to go do something. Now you got to go do something. You can't just sit down and be a backseat Baptist, like we like to say. We got to have some workers. The wages of sin is death. But there's a way out. And that's that gift that he gave us of his Son dying on the cross, that one day we can make heaven our eternal home if we would just do the will of the Father. You know, I've thought a lot about what's going on here in this life, and you know, we have a lot of people passing, and this is just the first death. You know, this is just the first death. There's more wages of sin to be paid for. Because you can commit the sin in this life and you're still going to die. You may never pay a cost in this life for your sin. You know, sometimes the sin of lying gets found out here and you can get in trouble for that here. Or the sin of adultery. There's other sins that can be found out here and you pay a price here. But if you don't ask the Father, if you don't ask the Son for forgiveness, you're going to pay a cost in the next life. And that's what we call the second death. You'll be cast into a burning lake of fire, a place prepared for the devil and his angels, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I believe in Revelation, that's what it says. This is the second death. Don't not ask for forgiveness of your sins here. You don't have to die twice. Everybody has to die once. But if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you do his will, you can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. And you can have life forever. And we'll gather around the throne and we'll sing songs for thousands of years and never even know no end, never grow tired. I believe the Bible says we'll sing a song that even the angels cannot sing. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to it. There'll be a great sorrow for a great many people, as we've read. For it says there'll be some that have been deceived, and he'll say, depart. And there'll be some that just didn't confess at all. and their fate's already sealed. We got to be about the Father's business. We got to be willing to do His work, no matter what the cost. If that means we've got to go overseas and be a missionary, then that's what it is. If that means your job that He's got for you is to walk down the street and to talk to your neighbor, then that's your job. That's what you're called to do. We need to be about the Father's business. And we need to remind people that the wages of sin is death. But it's a gift from God that will give us eternal life. We'd like to thank you all for coming tonight. I know it's kind of short, but we appreciate you all making the effort to come out, those of you that are here. For those of you joining us online, we appreciate you tuning in as well. We would like to remind everyone that we have service here on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. In way of announcements, Franklin Separate Baptist Church will have their homecoming this coming Sunday morning, and they will have a meal, and also they will have singing in the afternoon with the Judith Montgomery family will be singing. And then in the General Association for this year has been postponed until next year. It will be in North Carolina next year. Again, the same place that was supposed to host will host this next year. And then also the Central Indiana Association has been cut down to a one-day Saturday service, one-session service. So just in way of announcements, we'll continue to remind you of all these things as they develop. And the camp meeting has been canceled. Camp meeting has also been canceled. So does anybody here have anything on their heart? Anybody that's here have anything they want to say or got a song or do? A little shouting? Yeah. We thank you for being here, Sister Lula. If not, we'll have you all stand to your feet and we'll pray and be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to gather freely here, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to take this message and stir our hearts, Lord, that we would always be willing to do more for you. And Lord, we just ask you to always help us and guide us, that we would always be about your will, that would be our number one priority. We ask you, Lord, to continue to be with our leaders and our nation, Lord, and our world as we go through this pandemic. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. And we just ask you to be with all of us as we go our separate ways. In your name we pray and ask it all. Amen.